I think I glimpsed Eric Severide and Howard K. Smith and Bill White and Carl Rowan of USIA. And Barbara Ward herself turned out, as always, to be immediately the center of a lively circle. But soon and gently, I hope, I dislodged them. Along with Betty and Bill Fulbright, I'd gotten a message from Lyndon. He hoped I'd bring them for the boat ride dinner. And we slipped upstairs to join him and found Ann and Ed Clark of Austin there. Abby Ed about to be, hopefully, our ambassador to Australia. And out we went through a front door so we would not go past the guests on the south lawn, headed for the Honey Fits in the Potomac, and a delicious 3 hours of drinks and talk. In talking about the international situation and people who work in it, I remember something Lyndon said about Ellsworth Bunker. He can answer any argument and never take any skin off you. He said he's the only man he's ever recommended for a post and never had a dissenting voice raised, not one. Everyone likes him. And then something Lady Jackson said when we were talking about our beautification program. How graphically she speaks. What a rare talent for communication. If we can put a man out on the dark side of the moon, we can change the dark face of the country. Spending hours with her has been one of the good things for me about these last 2 years. I like time spent with smart people better than I'd like owning jewelry. I cornered Sir Robert and spent a large part of the evening with him. He plays a very large part in the Mekong River project, and I wanted him to explain it to me, which he did, with all its multi-ramifications, its achievements, its possibilities. Oddly, it's something that in the middle of all the discord, civil wars, and strife, the surrounding nations of that part of the world have kept on cooperating in, he said. He described very graphically the size of the vegetables raised on the irrigated land as compared with those on the dry land. And he talked to me about 3 steps that were coming up in the next month or so that face Lyndon like a series of giant obstacles from which much good or ill may flow. The meeting of the prime ministers of the Commonwealth countries, a great many of whom are our natural strong allies, but some, and more, it seems, becoming doubtful. That's the first hurdle, and one he thinks will be passed as a success for the United States. And then the second is a 20th birthday anniversary meeting of the United Nations in San Francisco. He thinks Lyndon's presence there and any speech he makes will have great strategic importance. And third, the really explosive hurdle is the Afro-Asian meeting. He referred to it as the Bandung Conference in, I believe, Algeria. This, he thinks, may be fraught with menace. It was a fascinating evening. Lyndon spent a sizable part of it with Ed Clark, and I heard him invite him to breakfast the next morning with the Prime Minister of Australia, Lord Menzies. He also asked Lady Jackson and Sir Robert. Boats are Lyndon's favorite Shangri-La these days. Here in Washington, the Honey Fits on the Potomac. When we are at home, our boat on the Llano River and the Lyndon B. Johnson Lake. It is hard to start calling it that.